Welcome to the Destined for Success podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Takagi, and this podcast used to be called New Manager Media, Manage Right from the Start. Many of the concepts are the same, but there's a little shift. There's a shift because I know we are all destined for success, and I want to help you find the fastest, smoothest way to reach your highest best as quickly as possible. Join me in today's episode where you're going to come up with new ways to build your skills and influence others to make the impact you desire to make. I look forward to connecting with you soon. Welcome to Destined for Success. I'm your host, Jennifer Takagi, and today I want to continue that conversation that I had last week with Kimberly Diaz about rewiring your brain. So you know I'm the 12-minute success coach and I like to do things in short bursts. And I want to expand on that a little bit today and talk about rewiring your brain in 12 minutes a day. So we want practical steps. We want to strengthen our mindset, improve our well-being, and create lasting change through small, intentional daily actions. The first thing I want to hit on is your brain follows what you repeatedly focus on. So consistent thoughts and actions create those neural pathways that either support or sabotage your success. When you're constantly thinking the same thoughts and they're not supporting the life you want to create, the life of your dreams, the health of your dreams, the partner you want to have, then that's the result you're going to get. This goes is talked about in most religions. It's a thing and it's true. I've told about the story of my mom suffered a massive stroke. She was only 62 and it wiped out the whole right side of her brain. And that's the reasoning ability. And part of the short-term memory is impacted. And so after the stroke, after she came home from the hospital and rehab, she could do some things, but it was a little iffy sometimes. But she couldn't watch TV because she couldn't watch a 30-minute show. She couldn't watch a movie. She could not focus. And one day she told my dad she wanted to watch the movie Grease, which was hilarious because when it had come out, she hated it. She didn't like anything about it. She lived during that time frame and she said those things didn't happen. That's not reality. She didn't like anything about it. The singing, the dancing, the actors, she was out. So when she told my dad she wanted to watch it, he was shocked, stunned, and amazed. But he rented the movie and she wanted to watch it again and again and again. So he found a way to purchase the VHS tape. Back in the olden days, we had VHS tapes. And she watched that movie again and again, and over a year, they literally burned through 4 VHS tapes because you had to watch it all the way to the end, rewind to the beginning, watch to the end, rewind to the beginning. I would go over there and I'd say, hey, what's going on today? And mom would say, oh, I'm just watching Grease. You want to watch it with me? And I'd say, yes, of course. Let's watch Grease a little bit more. But in the end, one day, she looked at my dad and said, I'm tired of this. I want to watch something else. And she was able to watch other movies. She was very specific on what she liked and what she didn't like. And, oh, I don't want to watch that. Yes, I do want to watch this. Her opinions were still there. But now she had rebuilt new pathways to keep up with what was happening in a movie. And recently I heard about a friend of mine's cousin who had a stroke and she said all he wants to do is watch TV, but he doesn't want to watch the same thing. He might want to watch all one series over and over again, but there are hours and hours and hours versus, you know, a 90-minute, two-hour movie. But he wanted to watch TV all the time. But I think that's rebuilding or building new pathways. So what are you focusing on throughout the day? What are you focusing on? Where is your attention? If you start watching something, I'll just throw out political. You start watching something political on Facebook, the reels or the shorts or whatever it is, and it's one political party or the other, you're gonna start seeing more of it. And the more you watch, the more you're gonna find evidence to support whatever your position is. And interestingly enough, your position could be a little bit minimal, like, I kind of believe that, I'm kind of supporting of that. But the more you watch it, the more you become entrenched in it. The same thing is anything negative. If you keep becoming more and more entrenched in the negative, you just keep getting into it. I loved it when I was studying Jack Canfield's success principles. And one of the things was, if you can start saying short, snappy things that resonate with you, it starts to become true. I'm healthy and alive at 155. And you just keep saying that. I am healthy and alive at 155. The more you say that, the more your brain is going to be wired to you weighing 155. Now, for you, that might be gaining weight. For others, it might be losing weight. You might want to be 75. Might want to be 205. Whatever the 5 is, that's a snappy little thing. I'm healthy and alive at whatever. The more you say that, the more you convince your brain of it. One of my older sisters, I'm the youngest, so everybody's older. She said, just wait till you get my age and this is going to happen and that's going to happen and your body's going to fall apart. And I'm like, nope, I'm out. I'm not doing that. I reject that. Erase, erase. So some of the gurus say erase, erase, or reject, reject, just whatever to wipe it out of your mind, because you don't want it to take up space. You don't want it to plant. You don't want it to grow. I often heard, you get married, you have kids, you get fat. And I was like, holy shit moly. And my mom looked at me and she goes, I'm married, I had 4 kids, I'm not fat. And I was like, oh, well, who was telling me you did? And I look at one of my besties and she has 3 kids. I hear women say all the time, oh, but I had a C-section, I can never get rid of my belly. Oh yeah, she had 3 C-sections. She's still in a string bikini and looks hot. Like, you're allowed to do whatever you want, but it's even better when you look really good in it. So what do you focus on? What do you focus on? If a doctor tells you this bad disease or thing is going to happen, the more you focus on it, the more choices you make that will support it. I overheard a woman talking to a doctor one time, and she said, if my family has a history of heart disease, is that guaranteed that I'm going to have a heart attack? And he said, no. It's like the blueprint of a house. The blueprint is there. The possibility for a heart attack is there. It's in your DNA. But you get to choose how you build the house and how you maintain the house. The structure is there. So if you choose not to smoke, if you choose not to eat all fatty foods, if you choose to eat more green leafy vegetables, that's the big thing, green leafy vegetables, higher protein, less fat, then even if you end up suffering from heart disease, it's going to be much longer down the road. If the first person in your family had troubles in their 30s or 40s, you might push that back to your 70s or 80s because you have a choice. you can take and believe that I'm going to have a heart attack because the doctor said so, and you can make all kinds of choices in your life to support that decision. So what story are you telling yourself, and what are you focusing on? So the next piece of this is drastic changes versus small changes. I have known people who suffered a medical event and they quit smoking, never looked back, never touched another one. Bam, that was it. Personally, I struggled to quit smoking for many, many years. And in the end, I did take the drug Chantix. I'm not supporting it or denying it. I'm just saying that was my personal path. And I quit very easily. As a matter of fact, at work, people didn't know for weeks that I had even quit. And they're like, man, we thought you were going to be all rare because you quit smoking. And I was not. But it was small steps. I cleaned out my car, vacuumed it. My husband at the time, well, my husband, he's still my husband, but at the time, my husband worked for a company that sold cleaning products, and they had one that was called like Smoke Away or Smoke Out, No Smoke, something like that. It was an aerosol. And I cleaned my car. I sprayed that in my car, rolled up the windows, and left my car sitting out in the sun so it got really warm because it was like the end of February, first of March. In Oklahoma, we can have some warm, sunny days then, and then we can have an ice storm. You never know. But this year, it was a warm, sunny day. And so I left it out all afternoon and all night. And the next day, I got in my car, and oh my word, it did not smell like smoke at all. So my first decision was to quit smoking in the house for a week. And so my husband smoked too, so we quit smoking in the house. And then I cleaned out my car. So then week two, I didn't smoke in the car. And I now had started taking Chantix. You take it a week before you quit to like build it up in your system. So I'm now taking the Chantix and I'm not smoking in my car. So at the end of the day, when I go to my car, normally I would get in my car and the first thing I would do is light a cigarette. So I got in the car. I couldn't smoke a cigarette. So I got out of the car and smoked a cigarette, and then I got in the car and drove home. And I got home and I wanted a cigarette. I had to go outside. I always had to go outside at work, but at home and in the car, I would smoke in the house and in the car. So I started making all these little changes. So when this quit smoking day came, it wasn't as hard. Because I wasn't smoking in the house. I wasn't smoking in the lake house. I wasn't smoking in the car. My husband quit smoking in the car. He's my car. He smokes in his car still. It's very irritating. But, you know, he has to do him, right? So we take my car if I don't want a smoky car. But we started doing these little things, and he was very supportive of not smoking in the house and not smoking in my car. That led to that success. I watch people, I have watched people over the years go on super drastic diets. I worked with a woman and she was, I think it was a 12-week liquid diet plan. And this woman was very, very short. So losing 10 pounds showed up a lot on her. That'd be like 20 or 30 on me because I'm taller. And she's on this stringent diet. She doesn't get one bite of solid food for 12 weeks. And she loses all this weight and she looks really good. And what do you think happens the first time she eats an actual meal? She starts gaining weight back. I watch people go on the all protein, no carb diets. Like the only carbs they could possibly get were green leafy vegetables. They couldn't be peas or carrots because those are high sugar apparently. It had to be like green leafy vegetables, green beans, broccoli, cauliflower, that kind of stuff. And they would lose all this weight and they would be really happy. And then they'd go have a hamburger and french fries and they'd gain 10 pounds because as soon as they ate one thing that was, quote, not on the diet, they would start gaining weight again. It's not sustainable. It's not sustainable. Often people who lose weight successfully do it because they make changes that are sustainable. They make changes that are sustainable. So habits over time build. They build and they build and they build. So small changes are more sustainable over time. And the third point I want to make today on rewiring your brain is you need to protect your mental inputs as much as you watch out for your physical health. Watch what you read, what you listen to, what you think about. It all directly influences your energy, your outlook, and guess what? Your future results. So if you're constantly saying, I can never do this, I can never do that, never, 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 can't, you're going to live in that mode. My husband and I were going to Italy to a wedding. I begged and pleaded for the wedding invitation and I got it. I was so thrilled. And so we made a whole vacation of it. And leading up to this trip, I had really been working on a lot of the energy healing work that I do, on being able to be physically stronger and be able to do things. It's before I had both knees replaced, but I think my recovery was better than most because I had done so much prep work before I had surgery. And one day, as I'm doing this energy work, I identified a negative broadcast message of, I can't. And my first thought when that came up was, that's a bunch of crap. My mom said I could do whatever I wanted to. But then I started thinking of all the times I said, I can't do this, I can't do that. So fast forward, now we're in Italy, and we went down to Pompeii to see the ruins. And Pompeii, if you don't know, is the city that was covered in volcanic ash, and much of it they've been able to, you know, uncover, and you can see, like, their houses were left just as they were, food on the table. And when we got there, there was this huge staircase, and you had to walk to the top of the staircase to even get to the ruins. And it was hot. It was a really hot day. It was the first part of September, but holy moly, every place in the world that was in summertime was experiencing a heat wave that year. And there's the staircase, and the guide said, walk partway up, turn around, and overlook the beautiful view below. And as, you know, a lot of people are in our tour group, and as we're approaching the staircase, people are already lined up on the side. So, like, there's nothing to hang on to. There's no railing because people are up against the side. I just had to walk up the middle. And I can remember thinking, I'm just going to go straight up the middle. And I'm going to walk all the way to the top. I'm not going to stop partway. I'm just going to keep going. So I walk all the way to the top. I turn around and the view is stunning. It's as beautiful from the top as it was, I'm sure, at the middle. And I can remember, as I'm looking at this beautiful view, if I hadn't cleared that negative message that was running around in my brain of, I can't, I would not have made it to the top of that staircase as easily as I did. So as we're repeating those thoughts to ourselves, as we're watching negative things, as we're listening to negative dramatic things, as we're listening to hate messages, there are a lot out there. You don't have to look far to find them. That is all being imprinted on your brain. If people are talking about how there's no energy and how exhausticated they are, that's not a word, I made it up, how exhausticated they are, and you're going to be like, oh yeah, I get it, I'm exhausticated too. You don't have to be. You don't have to be. You finish a task, you have another one to do, and you're feeling kind of drained. You can stand up and bounce on your toes, like just lift your heels up and start bouncing and clapping your hands and breathing shallowly and quickly. as you're clapping and jumping, it's a Brendon Burchard thing. You get all that energy or all that oxygen in your blood, and you get all that blood circulating because you're bouncing, your energy is going to increase. But if you've been watching all this stuff on, oh, as you age, you don't have as much energy, as you age, as you this, as you that, that is going to imprint on your brain, and it's going to keep you in that point, in that place. That place is stagnation. Where do we want to be? In a place of growth. So you can start rewiring your brain in small increments. Of course, I'm the 12-minute success coach, so I say do it in 12-minute increments. You have the choice. You have more choice and more options than you ever have ever had in the past. Choose wisely. Choose wisely. I'm Jennifer Takagi with Destined for Success, and I look forward to connecting with you soon. Thank you for taking your time to spend with me on this latest podcast of Destined for Success. Please take a moment to leave a review, share it with a friend, and subscribe, and get the newest episodes every Monday morning. I'm Jennifer Takagi, and I look forward to connecting with you soon.